This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
It is 24 minutes to 8 on your Tuesday morning with Rach and Dean on Joy Breakfast.
And this past Saturday, April 6th, was Asexual Awareness Day, a day dedicated to the understanding and awareness of all the variations under the ACE umbrella.
Now, to help us understand the personal experiences of an asexual person, we've invited one of our recent Joy Radio trainees to chat about their experience as an ACE person. Ashley, welcome to Joy Breakfast.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming in. Now, firstly, there are many shades of ace. Which part of asexuality resonates most with you?
For me, it's just a general, the asexual umbrella at the moment is the term that I resonate with the most. But it is a case of I'm still questioning and coming to understand that part of my sexuality a bit more. And it's a little bit of I'm questioning, you know, the grey sexual or the demisexual. But currently it's just that asexual umbrella. So,
how many different terms are there that you know of under the asexual umbrella? I guess I'm trying to figure out what they all kind of mean.
How long do you have? Because there's a lot of them.
Why not start firing them out? Let's see.
the ones that I know, you've got, you know, grey sexual, demisexual, cupiosexual, agrosexual. It's too early in the morning to try and think of too many more off the top of my head.
Let's just look at those four. What's the difference between the definitions in each of those four ones there? What's grey sexual?
Predominantly the differences are is how much or when you might experience sexual attraction and things like that. So for like a demi or a grey sexual, it's a little bit of they will experience some sexual attraction, but there has to be some certain requirements that they meet in that before that kind of happens. So knowing a person really well or not knowing a person can influence how people experience sexuality when it comes to the asexual umbrella.
And do we include a romantic into the asexuals as well? So people who might sexually be attracted to people but have no romantic feeling?
They're two separate terms and they are their own identities, but they quite often can kind of coexist with each other a little bit. But where, like your asexuals can have romantic attractions. I have romantic attractions. Or you can be asexual and aromantic, where you don't experience sexual or romantic attraction at all.
So. Mm.
The intersectionality, it just kind of, I get it on one level, but it blows my mind because it's so much more that I don't quite understand. Like if someone identifies in part of the ACE spectrum, they can also fall under the letters of the LGBTQIA+ community acronym, but figuring out what that means can be different for everyone. So there's lots of gay, lesbian and bi ACEs who may have attraction to the same sex, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, very much so. I mean, I'm asexual, biromantic, which is that, you know, I don't experience any sexual attraction, but I do have romantic attraction to, you know, male, females, anyone kind of across the binary spectrum. So,
I love that. It's really good to just like break down like those thoughts that we have and often don't ask out loud because it's like, do you have to also be gay to be ace? But no, you can be bi, you can be heteronormative.
Yep.
I love these definitions in so many ways. It's just really nice for people to explain and tell me who they are to be able to understand for them. I just think it's really lovely that we have these broad definitions so people can articulate their experience and who they are.
Now, Ash, getting into like your personal development through learning that you were asexual, what has your experience been like coming to terms with your sexuality?
Coming to terms with my sexuality was surprisingly easy, I think, only because even, you know, right down as a child in high school and things like that, I knew that there was something that I was experiencing differently to my peers. they were all talking about, you know, crushes and all these sorts of different things that they had, and you know, having, you know, wanting to sleep with celebrities and things like that. And I had no idea what they were talking about. I didn't know what they were experiencing or feeling. But even without the term, I wasn't sure. I knew that there was something that was different. It wasn't for me until the great days of Tumblr and being on the internet that I finally actually learned the term asexual, and then found all of the umbrella terms and things under it. And it's just continued to grow since then, which is why, even having come to terms with being asexual, I'm now questioning whether I'm, you know, graysexual or demisexual or something similar. Because there's so many new terms and so many things that are just developing from it. So,
we are
God bless Tumblr.
We're going to find out more about your experience with learning what asexuality is and your coming out experience right after this. It is 18 minutes to 8. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean.
Joy.
It is 17 minutes to 8. You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean, and we are talking asexuality.
We are joined with Ash in the studio, one of our recent Joy Radio graduates, and you got to speak a little bit in our training about coming out, especially at work. What was it like coming out in different aspects of your life at work, with your family, friends?
For me, most of my coming out was honestly accidental. I never planned to actually come out at any point in my life. I've been lucky in that the people that I, in my life have been really open and happy and accepting to it. In my workplace, I've had a couple of people that I've had some issues with, but that's been, you know, that was kind of expected. But coming out like as ace is slightly different, or quite a lot different to, you know, any, like some of the other acronyms, parts of the acronym, because it's not as visible as, say, being bisexual, where, you know, as femme presenting, if I'm in a relationship with someone else who's femme presenting, it's quite obvious. Whereas sometimes going into, you know, queer spaces and things like that as being ace, it's like it's hidden, and it's not one that you talk about all that often, so that makes it a little bit harder. And the people not understanding what asexuality is gets a little bit difficult. So,
what was it like when you were doing the radio training and coming into a space like Joy, like we're an LGBTIQA+ radio station, you know, spreading diversity and the stories of different people in the communities about it, coming and sharing that experience for you with a group of people who may or may not understand what that is but are a part of a community that want to get it?
It was amazing. I have never actually been a part of a group that's been solely kind of queer in their own way. So it was a very different experience, and it was an interesting one, even as simple as like someone on the radio course very easily understood the ring that I wear, my asexual ring, and they knew what the meaning behind that was, whereas in, you know, heteronormative spaces, people don't understand the meaning of what that is and things like that. So,
I am really curious about like living in your asexual being and it being a bit of a spectrum. Do you think that there are times where, so you were explaining that there is a bit of a spectrum between like demisexual and the other terms in which you used, that gray sexual, that was one of the other ones. Do you think that you can, as an asexual person, move up and down this spectrum depending on where you are in life? Or do you think that you do always fit within one of the terms?
I think it's like everything else. You can definitely move up and down the spectrum. You can identify with, you know, one label and then decide that you know, things have changed, or just things in your life have changed, and so the label might change for you. And I think that's been something for me, is especially now being understanding that my label might actually be different, because I'm starting to experience sexuality slightly differently in, you know, people who I'm meeting and things like that. And so it's that, well, you know, questioning if there's another label that might fit better because I'm forming different relationships. So
I have the biggest smile on my face all the way here in Canberra because I'm loving hearing this and just hearing your story and your chat. It's just really wonderful. We're really chuffed that you've come to talk with us this morning.
We've gotten a message through from Little Jace saying, so great to hear Ashley on this morning. I love that it's great to know that being ace is being, that yes, being ace is being recognized and given a voice. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your experiences. I think it's a part of our community that we need to shine more of a spotlight on because it doesn't get spoken about. Yeah. Enough. So thank you so much for your time this morning. If you've got any questions on asexuality, Ash is actually joining us for the rest of the show as a bit of a shadow panel operator. And I didn't actually tell her this before popping this on her now. But if you have any burning questions, send them through to us because it's the perfect opportunity with someone in the studio for the rest of the show to get your messages in 0427 569 949.
Or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Ash, thank you so much for being so open and giving us all a bit of education today and just being you.
We're going to go to a song, but after the song, we're going to keep you on the mic, Ash, because we need to do our true or false trivia.
Joy.
It's 4 minutes to eight. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, and we're joined in the studio by Ash, celebrating Asexual Awareness Day that was last Saturday.
And we're playing Totally Tricky True or False Trivia.
Yes, we are. All right. Ash, you're getting involved now. Are you ready to help answer these true or false questions?
I feel like today I need to get them right instead of just normal Tuesdays where I'm just messaging in. There's no stakes.
Well, are you ready for them, Dean?
Hit us with our first one, Rach.
Number one, herringfish communicate with farts. Is that true or false?
I really want this to be true so much.
What do you reckon, Ash?
I really want to say that it's true, but I was never into marine things, so I have no idea.
Well, you would both be correct.
Yay.
Herringfish do, in fact, communicate with farts. All right, number two.
This excites me so much.
In New York, it is illegal to knowingly sell a haunted house. True or false?
It's America, so it's stupid enough that I reckon it could be true. Ash, what do you think?
I think it's true. Even if it's not true, I'm pretty sure you have to, like, disclose that it's haunted or something like that. Like, there's some rule like that over there.
It's so funny because, like, who determines whether the house is haunted?
Yeah.
Ghostbusters?
Well, Ghostbusters it is because it's true.
Yay.
And
could Joy be right? On social media yesterday, Joy did turn around and say, true, 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 have I gotten the tricky true or false trivia right before we'd even done it? So I guess this final one is going to decide the answer,
isn't it? We're going to find out. Number three, Frankenstein was written by a teenage girl.
I think this one's true, or at least I know there's
I do as well.
Yeah, there is a book in the horror genre, or a couple of books in the horror genre that are written by a teenager, so I don't know whether Frankenstein was one
like
of them.
This is, yeah. Is Frankenstein, is it Mary Shelley?
Yeah, yeah. And whether so. Frankenstein right, is one of the...
Yeah. Are we right?
3 out of 3. And yeah, Joy's social media was correct. All three answers were true. Yeah.
Apparently psychic, like here's to Joy's socials.
I know, that's wild. Now, we've gotten a question through because we said we're going to keep Ash around for the entire show. She's learning how to press the buttons on the panel. And so we said, if you've got any burning ace questions, wow, that's not a good sentence. Asexual questions, burning asexual questions, to send them through and Ash will answer them. And we've got one through asking, is there a marginal difference between being ace and just being, ugh, I can't be bothered?
I think there's a lot more than a marginal difference. There's quite a big difference between it, I think. 'Cause being ace is almost, well, it's not almost, being ace is you don't control it. You can't decide that I'm ace and this is, you know, this is what's happening. It's a label that you use because you don't experience it. It's not that you use it because you're just choosing not to experience sexual attraction. And I think that, you know, I can't be bothered is more that choice of not wanting to experience it and things like that. So I think the I can't be bothered is potentially that segue into finding out or figuring out that you're ace, but they're not the same. It's very much
Isn't it funny, like the social stigmas that have existed and it's just ingrained over time, because a lot of people just assume asexuality is that whole, I just can't be bothered having sex when, or I'm disinterested, when it actually speaks to something so much more about a person and who they are.
Yeah. And especially in the, I mean, I absolutely love the LGBTQIA+ community, but it can be quite difficult being asexual in this community because it is often quite a sexual community, especially when you're looking at it from the outside. So it's it's an interesting experience, and that stigma and the perception from others is interesting.
Well, feel free to
this
keep.
This is why we need to.
Oh, sorry, Dean. Feel free to keep.
I was
those.
Just gonna say, this is what, we did it again. You go, Rach. You go.
Feel free to keep those message about asexuality coming through. Ash will be here for the rest of the show.
Because ACE is not only ACE, it's also affirming. And hearing your story and sharing your experience, we want to do more of that every single day here on Joe Brekkie.
It's 8 o'clock exactly. And coming up this hour, we will be speaking all about Castlemaine Pride, as well as...
we are going to be finding out all about A Night with Tina. Big wheels keep on turning.
High heels keep on burning. No, that's I completely made that up, but it works. I love it. Let's get back into the music. This is Janet Jackson, Together Again. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.